At the offertory, the lavabo, the priest purifies his fingers, washing them with water, symbolically himself of sin, and finishes his prayer from the Psalms by looking down towards his feet and praying, "My foot hath stood in the direct way. In the churches I will bless thee, O Lord." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On the octave 8th day of the Epiphany, there is another manifestation. That is what it means, something which is celestial, mysterious, a sublime show and tell, if you will. It is the first Epiphany of the adorable Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the three persons of one God whom we worship, the first to be found in sacred scripture. That is to say, the Holy Ghost is seen as a dove, and the Father is heard saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then the Son, who is God, is both heard and seen, and St. John says, "And you could touch him. I touched him, God made man," who goes down to the River Jordan. Do you know what that word means? I just learned that this weekend. It means he who comes down. And the Jordan actually is the lowest river in altitude in all of the world. And there, down in that river, he prods his cousin, John the Baptist. They have a little kind of a whispering argument or discussion. John says, "I should really be baptized by you, Lord." He says, no, he says, "Let it be, suffer it to be so now, for so it becometh all justice." And John, because he is humble about his humility, and he obeys, he does what he's told. Good default setting for a Christian. This, then, is the second of our Lord's manifestations or epiphanies, and it is a double one. He shows himself today as man, as the Son of Man, and he takes the place of sinful man. Think of it. He who is the innocent lamb, appearing as a sinner who needs this baptism of penance. At the same time, this is the second part of this epiphany, at the same time, the Father and the Holy Ghost proclaim his divine nature as they, the Trinity, institute this sacrament, which enables us, to share the divine nature, baptism. The Trinity then sanctify the element of water, giving it a true power to give birth in the water to us, adopted children of God. We started Christmas just 3 weeks ago. It seems longer, doesn't it? Because we've been doing so much. But just 3 weeks ago, with the birth of Jesus, and now we come to our own rebirth, to supernatural life, as Christmas winds down and Lent looms. Christ hath appeared to us. Come, let us adore. The church begins her prayer at Matins that way this morning. But there's more. The Father surveys the scene after every sacrament of baptism throughout the world. And he says today's words, "This is my beloved child in whom I am well pleased." We Catholics baptize by using one of the three valid means, infusion or pouring. And probably the way that we baptize is the way our Lord was baptized in the river and the way the early church baptized the catechumens. That is to say, Christ, or the candidate, stands in the water, he wades in to it's about here, and then the baptizer, the priest, the bishop, St. John, pours the water three times over that person's head. But it's not about the head, I want to talk to you today, but rather about the other end, the feet. Saint Peter, do you remember the scene in the Gospel, Holy Thursday? Our Lord's girding himself, we do the same thing here during Holy Week, to wash the feet of his apostles. And he gets to Peter, and Peter, in a rather blustery mood that day, says, "Oh Lord, no, you're not going to wash my feet." And our Lord has to stop and say, "Now, Peter, look, this is the price of admission. If I don't wash your feet, you're out." And then Peter, who is always over-enthusiastic, says, "Well then, Lord, don't just wash my feet, but wash my hands and my head." And our Lord is probably sighing a little bit now to be patient, saying, "Now, Peter, if you're washed, you really just need your feet washed," because back then they wore open sandals or went barefoot, and they washed their feet a lot to be comfy, and it was a polite thing to do for your guests. It symbolizes the same thing as St. Augustine says, the washing of the priest's fingers at the offertory. That is to say, doing away with the little venial sins, a last-minute preparation. In the case of the apostles, before the first Mass was offered. There is a wonderful painting that I came across of the baptism of Christ. I have a copied there, and you'll find it in your Sunday bulletin too. It's by a 15th century Italian, Piero della Francesca, of the Tuscan school. And what drew my eyes to it is the emphasis this man, the painter, puts upon the feet in the picture. That is to say, you see our Lord's feet, they're right in the middle of the canvas, and they sort of anchor us, a bit like a tree trunk, which is right next to Christ's feet. They're stationary. Our Lord is our stability. Now next to him, John's feet are on the move. They are moving towards Christ. Where are your feet today? What direction are they pointed? Are they anchored on the move? If so, where? What is our processional status this morning? All year long, really, we're making a procession. At the drop of a Beretta, we'll get everybody organized and off we'll go, singing something. It could be for Our Lady in the Rosary, or it could be the 40 hours. But really, every Sunday, there is a procession, isn't there, of Christians into church, and then a second procession up to the communion rail at Mass. Our life is a kind of a procession. That last one leads to your own epiphany, when baptism bears its fruit and you go up to receive Christ into you, or to be drawn into him, into his person, himself. The Holy Ghost does that drawing, and the Father smiles to recognize you as his beloved child, in whom he is well pleased. The processions of the church year at St. Gertrude, the processions of every Sunday. Ah, I must mention a word about that other procession, which is not necessarily pleasing to God. It is a remarkable thing, isn't it? The 7:30 Mass, you've ever been to that? Everybody gets there on time, and everybody pretty much stays put. But starting at the 9, and full bloom by the 11:30, when people have had time to drink their coffee and to think about it a little bit, they come in late, and they come and they go. There's an awful lot of activity. We spoke a little bit about that. I mean, some of the little princess click, click, click movements in and out of church during Mass. We spoke about that during Advent one Sunday. That's a kind of a processional, perpetual processional that doesn't add much to the Mass. If you're coming and going, or you come in late, you'd miss the wonderful words with which Mass begins of the 42nd Psalm. "I, in trouble, I will go unto the altar of God. To God who gives joy to my youth." Such beautiful words. Why would you want to miss them once at Mass? If you knew what was really happening at Mass, this manifestation of mysterious power, which is mercy for you. You'd ask the usher in the back to give you a seatbelt, not just so that you and the kiddies could stay put for a change and not miss a single part of our wonderful Holy Mass and show some reverence, because theoretically you are here to worship God and for no other purpose. But you'd ask for a seatbelt because of the astounding, tremendous thing that is happening. The heavens are opening. He's descending down to the Jordan of our sinfulness to wash our sins with his blood. And then after we've been wiped, why then to feed us fresh from the water with his body. Infinity, we sang at midnight Mass. Down from the realms of endless day. We're the ones who believe it. But you'd never know that, some days, by our feet, which betray us. Our feet aren't nearly often enough turned towards church. Had the 40 hours last week been actually successful, it would have borne some fruit. And all of you, instead of feeling the need to rest a week from church because you've just been going too often these days, you would have felt the need to come back. Oh, I couldn't wait a whole week till Holy Communion. I have to make at least a visit because Jesus is right here in the tabernacle. Some of you would be saying, and we'd be seeing that. But some can't even manage to be here when they're meant to be, and to be here on time, and to stay put, to kneel up, and to be good and reverent. We're here because Christ draws us by his Spirit, and the Father demands it. This corporate act of submission, the sacrifice of the Mass. And we think it is worth it, don't we? It's worth it. I mean, the frantic dash and scramble of getting the entire family up and out the door, washed and dressed, and even to manage to get here before the altar, before the priest does, for a few priceless minutes to prepare. To recollect yourself, to think about your life and your week, so you could place it on the paten for offertory. Your preparation for Mass mirrors Christ's preparation for Calvary. So we get here convinced that this is the most important action of our life. Almost all of you in this church believe that. But how few there are who live it. It is worth it, surely, to claim your place here as a beloved child of God near the altar, so the little ones who have been taught to behave can see and absorb and remember. They need to see more than just the backs of adults. And all of us can hear at the very beginning those wonderful words about why we're here and where we are going and how we'll need a little final wash just before we go up. Head and heart and all of us to the altar of God. The big thing today is to have upward mobility. Trade up your job, trade up your spouse, your house, build up that bank account by prudent investments, and get lots of money. Good for you, if you're in that, except for the spouse part, I mean. Good for you, share some of your money with the church. But as you are on the way up in your life and career, remember this. Jesus is on the way down. You'll meet him. He's going in the other direction. Our Lord is downwardly mobile. He descends. The downward trajectory, this should be an epiphany for us to see it. Down to the river he goes. Down to the rail. Down to my soul. To the depths of me. He waits for me to hand over to him all of my worries and woes of the week, the weakness of my flesh and spirit, my triumphs and my trials. God wants to hear them all, and he waits in an accessible place. He who inhabits light inaccessible, really now, must I keep him waiting? Must me and my children always be turning our back to him because of some little whim? Where are my feet going? Where am I going? What am I doing here anyway? I am here to be transformed, to be consecrated to God, sacrificed with his Son and sanctified by the Spirit he sends. Surely the least of it would be to leave all self-centeredness there at the door, at the holy water font, and my own concerns, park them with the car out there, lest I miss a single grace. It may be a week. It may be longer. It may be never that I will be able to return to this church for another Mass. May I not miss a single grace of this our common sacrifice. Where are your feet going today? God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.